makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative, present Strange as It Seems. Tonight, you'll hear the story of a queen who had a cold, poor thing. A cold that cost more than $100,000. But that's nothing. Colds cost Americans $500 million a year. Until science discovers what causes them, let's do what we can to help prevent colds. So here are some things to remember. Get plenty of sleep. Eat sensibly. Avoid drafts. Keep your feet dry. And keep regular. Sounds simple, and it is. If, in keeping regular, you are exceedingly careful to choose a correctly timed laxative. X-Lax, for instance, takes 6 to 8 hours to be effective. But why a correctly timed laxative, you ask? Well, because a laxative that is correctly timed is mild and gentle, kind to your system. X-Lax combines that mildness and correct timing with complete thoroughness and effectiveness. And last but not least, X-Lax is a pleasure to take. It tastes just like delicious chocolate. For 30 years, it has been the approved family laxative in millions of homes.
The world's most expensive cold cure. Russia, 1790. Catherine the Great, Empress of Russia, is extremely irritated. For the Empress has that supremely unromantic malady, a common cold.
Can I do anything, Your Imperial Majesty?
Oh, no, you silly little fool. Just keep your mouth closed until the doctor arrives. Why doesn't he come?
He will be here immediately, Your Majesty.
And he'd better cure this miserable cold.
Oh, the doctor, Imperial Majesty. I will bid him enter.
Hurry! Tell that bumpkin to come in here.
Oh, Your Majesty, 1,000 apologies for being late. 1,000 apologies, Your Majesty.
Quiet!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Prescribe something for this infernal cold before I have your head cut off.
A moment only.
No, hurry!
Let me look closely.
Look closely. Nonsense. Listen! Now, hurry. I entertained Voltaire this evening, and I wish to be completely cured.
Well, some tallow rubbed on the nose is very helpful, Your Imperial Majesty.
Tallow?
See that it is warm, rub it on every hour, and all will be well.
Petrushka, order me some tallow for my nose.
Once in here, Your Majesty.
And see that I have it within 20 minutes, or I shall pack you off to Siberia.
Eighty years pass. The Empress Catherine has long since died. The Emperor Nicholas I is now on the throne of Russia. One day he idly goes over the household accounts. With him is his friend Jakovlov.
Why do you bother to go over these accounts, sire? Surely the chamberlain of the household will see that everything is as it should be.
A man who leaves his accounts to servants and women is begging for trouble. What's this?
What, Your Majesty?
The infernal impudence. Just listen to this. For the cure of His Majesty's cold, tallow, 10 rubles.
But you have no cold, sire.
Let me turn the pages back. Just as I suspected. Here is the same item again. And here it is again. I'll investigate immediately.
You rang, Your Imperial Majesty?
Yes. Chamberlain, look at this item for tallow on my household account.
Yes, Your Majesty.
How long has this item been placed on the accounts?
Since 1790.
What? 80 years ago? Have you been buying the tallow?
Yes, Your Majesty.
And what has the tallow been used for?
Well, I don't know.
10 rubles a day for 80 years for tallow, and you don't even know what's become of it. Do you know how much that amounts to?
No, Your Imperial Majesty. No.
292,000 rubles spent on tallow for a miserable cold cure.
Your Imperial Majesty, I beg of you, I can explain.
In the fortress of Peter and Paul, you will have ample opportunity to explain.
Oh, Imperial
explain Majesty. How you're going to repay me the 292,000 rubles.
Strange as it seems, the amount of money expended on tallow to rub on the Imperial Russian nose for just one day amounted to $112,785 in our money, the most costly cold cure ever discovered. More strange epitaphs. A short time ago, you heard some epitaphs collected by John Hicks. The response has been so great that he has selected a few more, taken from tombstones throughout the world. Apparently, in the old days, epitaphs had to rhyme. Whether the name fitted the rhyme scheme made no difference to the person who wrote the epitaph. He just took matters in his own hands. From a tombstone in Tasmania. Underneath this pile of stones lie the remains of Mary Jones. Her name was Lloyd. It was not Jones, but Jones was put to rhyme with stones. Here is a masterpiece of the anticlimax, an epitaph in the little town of Pewsey, Wiltshire, England. Here lies the body of Lady O'Looney, great niece of Burke, commonly called the Sublime. She was bland, passionate and deeply religious. Also, she painted in watercolors and sent several pictures to the exhibition. She was the first cousin to Lady Jones, and of such is the kingdom of heaven. The single state receives brickbats as well as marriage. Here rests in silent clay Miss Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. The last epitaph must have been written by a person who liked puns. It was taken from a tombstone in Great Grimsby, England. Owen Moore has gone away. Owen more than he could pay. Strange as it seems, these are all authentic epitaphs. Have you ever seen any strange or unusual epitaphs? If so, send them to Strange as it Seems, care of the station to which you are listening. The Strange Story of Grant and Lee. There is an interesting and ironic story connected with two great Civil War generals, Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. Grant, at this time a young captain of the United States Army, has recently married Julia Dent, daughter of a well-to-do southern planter. They are entertaining Lieutenant Southey, a friend.
Joe will be here in a second with some mint juleps, Lieutenant Southey.
A mint julep at last. Why, that's the drink you've been telling me about, Ulysses.
Yes. The only trouble is I don't know how to fix one myself, so I have to have Joe do it for me.
Oh, here comes Joe now. Put them here on the table, Joe.
Yes'm, Missy.
Tell Mandy I'll be in the kitchen in a moment, Joe.
Yes'm, Missy Julie.
Now, try this, Southey.
Ah, heaven personified. If you don't look out, Mrs. Grant, I'll hire Joe away from you.
You can't do that, Lieutenant. Joe belongs to Julie and me. He was a wedding present from her father.
Oh, I didn't know. It's always hard for me to understand about slaves.
Julie and I used to discuss it at first, but...
You northerners don't appreciate our feeling for the niggers, Lieutenant Southey.
I'm afraid I don't, Mrs. Grant.
We love them, as we'd love our children.
But you don't buy your children.
Well, well, such a serious conversation for a nice sunny afternoon.
Well, excuse me, please. I have to talk to Mandy about dinner. Will you stay, Lieutenant?
I'll...
Of course he'll stay, Julie.
Oh, very well, then. Joe, keep you supplied with Julie.
I'm sorry we had to bring up slavery, Southey.
So am I.
I feel so strongly about it, Ulysses, I don't see how you can tolerate it.
Oh, I don't know. Joe and Mandy seem happy enough. They adore Julie. Mandy was born in slavery. She doesn't know anything else.
Nevertheless, Joe and Mandy are slaves. They belong to you. You could sell either of them to me just as I sold you my bay saddle horse. It's all wrong, Grant. All wrong. And someday, not far distant, that wrong will be avenged by your blood and mine.
Virginia, several years before the Civil War, in the charming southern home of Robert E. Lee and his delightful wife, Mary Custis Lee. They are talking together.
Will Tom be in here soon, Mary?
In just a moment, he'll come in, dear.
I feel so sure that I'm right in what I'm going to do. It's the happiest moment of my life, Mary, to tell those poor devils that they're free. I've never favored slavery.
I know. Father's freed his slaves already, and he says it's a great satisfaction to him.
Oh, here comes Tom now. I decided to tell him by himself. He's the oldest slave we have, and he can be my spokesman to the others.
Yes, dear. Oh, come in, Tom.
You call me, Missy?
Yes. Your master has something to tell you.
Yeah.
Tom, I've got good news for you.
Master Lee, you mean we gwine to have shortened bread for supper?
I wanted to tell you, Tom, that you and all the rest of my slaves are free. You're not slaves anymore.
You mean, Master, we all gwine to be our old master?
Yes, Tom. Any of you who want to stay with us, of course, we'll be glad to have you. But any of you who wish to go can come to me, and I'll see what can be done towards making you self-supporting.
Oh, Master, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything now, Tom. We can talk more tomorrow.
Master Lee, before I go, I wish to ask one thing.
Well, of course, Tom. What is it?
Master, I don't want to be free. I don't want to be free. I want to be your slave boy till I die.
Strange as it seems, Ulysses Grant, general of the Northern forces during the Civil War, was not averse to slavery and even owned slaves, while Robert E. Lee, great hero of the South, not only objected to the sin of slavery, but freed all his own slaves several years before the Civil War. It's a bit too early for spring fever, but as we come to the end of winter, most of us are feeling sluggish and under par. Perhaps we've eaten too many heavy meals, we haven't taken enough exercise. Whatever the cause is, people seem to feel the need of additional help at this time of the year. So if you're sluggish and a laxative is needed, try X-Lax. X-Lax, you know, is mild and gentle. It's kind to your system because it is correctly timed. It takes 6 to 8 hours to be effective. And the taste? When we tell you that X-Lax tastes just like your favorite chocolate, we don't have to say any more about that. So drop in at your druggist and get a box of X-Lax. It costs only 10 cents, or you can get the more economical family size for only a quarter. Back in early Anglo-Saxon days in England, there was one month in the year called the Wolf Month, because the wolves actually came into the villages. Be sure and listen to the next broadcast. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. A billion-dollar check is worth 1,000 times as much in England.